Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours, episode 22. This is the segment where we make some picks for the upcoming UFC card over some pours of adult beverages, usually, although I'm drinking a seltzer today. Today, we're going to be talking about UFC Vegas 90. Before we get into that, let me introduce Matt the Mechanic. Coming off of a clean sweep last week at UFC Atlantic City, see, I might add.
I told you guys I was professional.
See, here's my theory. You're going to screw the listeners no matter what, because we got to the point where you were picking so off that 2 weeks ago you had the reverse parlay, every pick wrong. So we probably got to the point where people are tuning in to see who you're going to bet so they can bet the opposite. And you put the screws to all of them, getting every single pick right.
Yeah, we did go 6 for 6. I didn't end up betting on that Russian guy just because I was putting it in. I'm like, oh, I can make 20 cents. So we're up 536.
All right.
And that puts us at $136.21 for the year.
Not too shabby. All right. So what do you think the magic was? You think it was like, did you do extra research, or were you not as familiar and you were with the fighters and you were just taking guesses?
I did some extra research than usual. I'll start on Wednesday and I'll just do it during my lunch hour. But I started on Monday last week, but this week I started about 2 hours ago. So
is that an indicator of whether or not people should go along with your picks?
We're
going to
try stuff out. You know, I'm sure, I don't know how many picks we're going to make next week.
All right, so what are we doing the top five here? Top five fights?
Starting with Charlie Campbell.
Okay, Charlie Campbell and Trevor Peak. I have a feeling that Trevor Peak is just your kind of fighter. I don't think he has better skills pretty much anywhere than Charlie Campbell, but he just got that, I don't know, hillbilly ruggedness that goes a long way.
Yeah. I'm going to take Campbell here. He is minus 175 versus Trevor Peak 145. I have my toughness bet coming up later.
Okay. So you're saving the toughness bet.
Yeah. I mean, this is a member of our favorite fight team, so I don't think we can pick against him.
Fair enough. All right. So that's the reason you're going with Charlie Campbell?
I went back and watched some of his clips, and his leg kicks are some serious shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think a TKO might even be a good pick here.
I'm not mad at it.
Trevor Peak, if I'm being honest, but if you say I'll like him, I'll check him out.
Yeah, he seems like he's got that kind of Bryce Mitchell quality to him. I don't know if he's into conspiracy theories and stuff, but I just get that vibe. All right. Walter Walker. That's a tongue twister. Heavyweight, undefeated, getting in there against Polish guy, I believe, Lucas Brzeski. I don't know. I heard Anik having a hard time with this one, so I'll give myself a pass on this one. We'll go with Brzeski, but I don't think that's it.
I don't ask me.
All right. Well, I imagine Walker's the favorite here as the undefeated fighter.
Yeah, he's minus 270 versus plus 220.
Okay.
And just to go back to the last fight, Charlie Campbell by TKO is plus 120. So I might chew on that for a little bit.
All right. So Brzeski, since coming to the UFC, is on a 4-fight skid. And that's including a no contest on the Contender Series. It was overturned. I'm not sure why. But they brought him into the UFC, lost 2 decisions, and then he got finished by Waldo Cortez Acosta. So this guy looks like a damn Viking model. But uh, I it doesn't seem like on paper he has much of a chance in this fight.
Yeah, on paper it doesn't seem that much. The dude's big, scary, hits like a Mack truck. I went back and watched Walker's most recent fight against Alex Nicholson. You know who that guy is?
No.
Anyway, I've seen him fight before. He's pretty good. But Walker got exhausted by the ring, like in the middle of the second.
Mm-hmm.
And they both got exhausted and they kind of coasted to the win. But I don't know. I was kind of thinking about taking the underdog here. But you talked me out of it, so I'll take Walker.
Well, you know what happens when I talk you out of things? I end up wrong.
Well, I was already thinking about this, so you didn't really convince me. It was just the last push.
All right, fair enough. Let's go with it then.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Ignacio Bahamondes and Christos Giagos. So I imagine that Bahamondes is the favorite here, probably a heavy favorite.
Yeah, -340.
Yeah, that's kind of close to the number I had in my head. What are you thinking with this one?
Yeah, I watched a couple of the Spartans fights on ESPN Plus, and I just don't see a way he's going to do it. So, yeah, we're going to Bahamondes.
Yeah. Apparently the H is silent. Bahamondes.
Bahamondes.
Which is kind of strange to me. But, I mean, he must know how to say his own name.
Yeah.
So, there's another pronunciation I take issue with here too, and it's in this next fight. Morgan Charrier is what Anik was saying, but this guy's French. How is it not Charrier?
I don't know, Bill. I've never been to France.
I took French in high school and I passed. But that was a long ass time ago.
Maybe it's one of those just accent things in France.
Yeah. Maybe
Cert, whatever he's from, that's the way they say it.
In any case, he's getting in there.
That's his name. Why are you busting his balls, Bill?
Well, I'm just one. I don't know if that's how he says it.
Oh, didn't they play that one this week?
No, I don't think they played the. I don't think they played the pronunciation clip. I just heard Anik saying it, and he was saying Charrier, and it just doesn't sit well with me. I look at it and I see Charrier. But regardless, getting in there with tough guy, Jose Chepe Mariscal. I don't know which way I'm leaning on this one, but what are the odds?
To pick them, Charrier is -115. The other side is -105.
Yeah, I mean, flip a coin, really. But who'd you pick?
I think it's probably going to be fight of the night. Charrier loves his body kicks, and he kicks the shit out of people with them. Mariscal's got really good stand-up, but he's got a judo black belt to back it up. But I'm going to take the last pirate, Charrier.
Is he the last pirate? They're all apparently out of pirates?
I don't know. I think those people in, what is it, Somalia, they have something to say about that.
Maybe he's the last French pirate.
Wait, I don't know. Were there French pirates? I mean, I guess so.
Sure.
We live in Tampa Bay. We should know more about pirates.
Yeah, I feel like we should, but I don't know. Here, pirates are just like an excuse to dress funny and get drunk.
Pirates are probably like Vikings. When it comes down to it, they're really not that exciting. They don't wear all the cool shit that we put in movies.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just like floating around and
yeah, they just kinda had gray clothes on and
board shorts.
Yeah.
And just all tattered up and ripped up.
Whenever I think of pirates, I just imagine how bad it had to smell on that damn boat.
Oh yeah. they're pulling up fish and like they're just drinking rum, and then just a bunch of dudes that haven't bathed, been out at sea, and they're banging porpoises, whatever they do.
Maybe banging something else, who knows?
Yeah, well, supposedly, and I read this somewhere, or I saw it on a something, the porpoise has the closest thing in the wild to a human vagina.
Hmm. Yeah. You learn shit every day.
Yeah, so they're very popular amongst sailors.
Not only did somebody have to inspect one of those things, but they had to go inspect a whole bunch of other ones to make that statement.
Yeah, it's like, no, this isn't quite right. Let's try the porpoise. Bring it in here. There's a whole research team.
Yeah, next is the emu.
Or wait, am I thinking of a dugong?
I thought that was a Pokemon.
Is it a real animal, though? I think it's a porpoise. A porpoise is like a type of dolphin, right?
No, I thought a porpoise was a dolphin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe it's a... Yeah. Is there a difference between a porpoise and a dolphin?
I don't know. But let's back see. To your other statement, I would think it would be a mermaid.
No, because the bottom half is fish.
Well, it's true sometimes.
So, they weren't sometimes. Every now and then you find that one genetic freak mermaid that has human legs and a fish head. That's like that's the jackpot.
Yeah, that's the jackpot.
All right. Mr. Jackpots. All right. Co-main event. Both Billy Quarantello victims here, Alexander Hernandez and Damon Jackson, who apparently has a new head of hair on him.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Did you see it?
I did.
It looks great.
Yeah, it looks really good. Did he go to Turkey? Do you know?
I'm sure. But man, I didn't remember his hair being that bad. And then I was like watching him. And his presser, and I was thinking, damn, he's got nice hair. And then I clicked the comments, and that's all the comments were about. They didn't ask him about it, which I think he probably wanted them to. But yeah, these odds are +164 Jackson, -198 Hernandez.
That sounds about right. So Damon Jackson coming off back-to-back losses, got knocked out by Dan Ige, and then he just got bullied by Billy Quarantello back in August. Alexander Hernandez is coming off a loss to Bill Algeo. Before that, he beat Jim Miller. And then before that, got TKO'd by Billy Quarantello in what was an epic comeback. I'm sure you remember that fight. Billy, much in Billy Q fashion, got his ass beat in the first round and pulled a stellar victory out of his hat in the second, and wound up bloodying up Hernandez. But in any case, here we are. So Hernandez is the favorite. What I don't like about this, and if I know one thing about gambling, is that you should look for consistency. And that is not what we have in either of these guys here. So I would be wary betting on either one of them, to be honest. But luckily, that's your job.
Yeah, and it's only a buck. So I think skill-wise, Hernandez is on top of everything here. But I'm just going to bet on the toughness and the hair of Damon Action Jackson.
All right. So maybe Damon Jackson with hair is like a new special character. He's like C-level Cain Velasquez.
Well, the new haircut just worked for Poirier, so.
Yeah, but it wasn't new hair.
Well, maybe that's even better.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Time to secure itself.
Yeah, imagine Hernandez just knocks a toupee off him in the first round.
All right, it's all patchy and it's all.
We got some information here from Mark Fellows. Dolphins and porpoises differ in their faces, fins, and body shapes. Dolphins have longer noses, bigger mouths, more curved dorsal fins, and longer, leaner bodies than porpoises.
What about the other part, Mark?
Yeah, Mark, that's not the part that we're concerned about here. We want to know what part the pirates are having fun with. That was the whole point. So we know so the dolphins are a little leaner, so we're losing viewers by the second, but I don't care. So the pirates like them a little, you know, a little stockier, a little dumpier. But I guess it's all about the functionality, maybe not the body.
I'll have to look into this. I wonder if they live in the same area or Mark Fellows is full of shit. I don't know.
Mark says they both have cunts. All right. Thanks for Cheers, the anatomy Mark. Lesson. And with that, let's talk about the main event. So this is a rematch between Brendan Allen and Chris Curtis. And Chris Curtis stepping in on short notice, by the way, for Marvin Vettori. So he had a TKO win over Brendan Allen back in December of 2021. So, and I believe that was Brendan Allen's last loss, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yes, it was. And his only other loss in the UFC was to Chris Curtis's teammate, Sean Strickland. So it seems like this team may have Brendan Allen's number, but you know, I still think Brendan Allen is the more well-rounded fighter. Chris Curtis is going to have better boxing, better footwork, and more knockout power. But I think Brendan Allen is just a more complete fighter. And of course, he's got that dangerous ground game. However, I think Chris Curtis has never been submitted. So, oh no, he's been submitted one time. And I'm assuming it was a long ass time ago. Yeah, it was back in 2011. He was submitted with a rear naked choke, which happens to be Brendan Allen's specialty. So what are the odds here?
Brendan Allen's minus 205 and Chris is plus 140.
See, that's interesting. It's interesting that Brendan Allen would be such a big favorite, even though he's lost to this guy before and got finished by him. I mean, granted, it was 3 years ago, but I would think that would make the line a little bit closer. But what do I know, I guess?
So everything tells me that Brendan Allen's going to win this fight, but that's what I thought last time.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up, and since the beginning of the UFC, on a rematch, 62% of the time, the previous winner wins again.
Hmm. Interesting.
And adding in the Sean Strickland thing, I want to make some money, so we're going to go with Curtis.
Okay.
I'd also like to look up what – I need to look up what – when it's a short-notice fight, like a the person that steps in, there's got to be a stat on versus
– Yeah, yeah, I would think so. Too. I'd be curious about that as well. Yeah, I just feel like there's going to be more pressure on Brendan Allen because he's got more to lose. I mean, he's got a higher ranking. He was going to be the main event across from Marvin Vettori, who's got an even nicer number next to his name. This fight comes up on short notice. I think if it wasn't for the revenge factor, he probably would have turned this down. Or maybe he would still want to be the main event regardless, but I think there's just more at stake for Brendan Allen, which makes it a riskier fight. You know, Chris Curtis is really the guy who has nothing to lose, and that's the most dangerous guy you can be standing across from. You know, he took this on short notice, and he's already got a win over Brendan Allen, so he's got that kind of psychological edge. Yeah, I really don't understand the odds on this one, but yeah.
Wait till we get to next week. I showed you. There's a lot of weird odds.
Okay, I'm sure there are. Yeah, I don't mind throwing a few shekels on Chris Curtis here. Not a bad pick.
That wraps it up. Let's do Campbell by TKO too. So that gives us Campbell by TKO, Walker, Baja Mondays, the French guy, Jackson and Curtis.
Okay. Sounds good. We got to post these. I got to remember to like post a picture of the picks on social media.
Well, we made it, Bill. We made it through all these weird cards.
Finally, we get everybody's looking forward to 300 at this point. This is just like the appetizer, I guess.
We're going to break it all down next week, but what is there one fight you're looking forward to the most?
Wiley Zhang and Xianan Yan.
Yeah, good. Sure.
Sorry, I didn't have an episode on April Fool's Day, so I didn't get that in there. I'm really interested in Cody Garbrandt and Davison Figueiredo.
We better tune in early.
Yeah, I intend to. I just think that's one that I keep like volleying back and forth in my head, and it's two guys that they both had like low points in their careers, and they both kind of bounced back. And it'll just be interesting if both of those guys show up, which is, you know, who knows?
When was the last time Garbrandt showed up?
In his last fight. Didn't he win his last fight?
Oh, yeah, I guess he won too. Why don't I he had a rough COVID.
Yeah, there was COVID, and then he had like a staph infection. Yeah, he's won two in a row, and he knocked out Brian Kelleher in his last fight.
Yeah. Well, the odds on that fight are one of the ones I was talking about. Garbrandt's a plus 240.
Yeah, Figueiredo's a big favorite. Because he's coming off of that big win over Rob Font, where he looked phenomenal in that fight. So, I don't know. That one just really stands out to me. I know everybody says everybody's answer is Holloway and Gaethje. I'm not really looking forward to seeing those two fight, because that's one of those fights where like I don't want to see one of them lose. It's like it's probably going to be a great fight.
You've seen both of them lose before, so what the heck?
Yeah, true.
But that is between that and the Oliveira fight, and the next is Max Holloway. That's part of the card I'm really looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
We have this weird mismatch with Bo Nickel before it, but
yeah, he's like a minus 1700 or something.
No, something. He's minus 2100 right now.
Oh shit.
Which really sucks, because then the other guy is plus 1100. So what? That's not.
So you have to bet $2,100 on Bo Nickel to win $100. Mm. That's how that works, right?
Yep.
Damn. Imagine dropping $2,000 on a guy like, oh, this is a sure thing, and then he loses. Just to
that should have been my hot take this week. I really like what I have high hopes for Bo Nickel, but I do not appreciate the way he talks about other fighters having only four fights. You know, he talks like, he talks about all the veterans, and I don't know. I just don't like it.
Hmm. I haven't heard too much of that, so I'd have to hear some of it too.
You know, he'll pop in on a podcast. I think he has a podcast, but he'll just make weird comments like, oh, I don't think he was talking about Usman and how he doesn't think he was that great. And
Sounds like a debate I had on here on Sunday. All right, but speaking of hot takes, you got one this week?
Yes. Let's be provided by another a fighter. You don't have a shot available, do you?
Yeah, I do. I have, unfortunately. This is pink lemonade vodka, and I guess it's put out by Barstool Sports. You have that too?
Yeah. So word.
All right. I've got a whole bottle of it though, because I forget why I had to get this. My wife was doing some kind of like pink themed thing, and she asked me to get her a pink drink, and I found this at Publix on sale. I mean, it's just, I guess they drank a little bit of it, but it's just been sitting in the bar. I've never really been curious to drink it, but I was like, oh, I'm out of all these little shooters. I'm going to need something disgusting to take a shot from if I lose the hot take. So yeah. Here we are.
That's weird. I picked up some more, and I got the Screwball, the other peanut butter whiskey, to kind of, but we'll save that for, I don't know, maybe next week. But I also got this. So I think I've got, you gave me one of these though. I think I've had this before.
Yeah, I might have.
But anyway, we're going to be on the same team. We're going to be on the team of this fighter.
Okay.
So if she is incorrect, we'll be taking a shot.
Okay.
And I think we should take the shot directly after the clip.
Okay.
There's going to be no discussion. You're just going to, if you don't agree with the fighter, take a shot.
All right. So I guess I should just pour it.
Yeah.
So basically the result of this is I'm going to take a shot.
Yep.
All right.
So this is Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
She did an interview with the Ladders podcast. She was talking about her fight with Holly Holm. But okay. this is a part of it.
And I know that, like, I'm the greatest fighter that has ever lived. But when it got to a point where I'd just taken so much neurological damage that I couldn't take it anymore.
Wait, do I have to agree that she's the greatest fighter that ever lived?
Nope. We're on her side, so she's wrong. And okay. Have fun with that.
All right. This is Pink Whitney, New Amsterdam Pink Lemonade Flavored Vodka. Salute.
Tastes like 2003.
Oh man, it tastes like the floor of a frat house.
Yeah, it does. That's what it tastes like. It tastes like, well, what was your, maybe 2000, what, two, three, like one?
I was in college, 2003. I was in college.
I was not, I didn't go to college right after high school, but there was still some of that. It took me about 6 years before I decided to go to college.
Oh, that was not good at all.
Yeah, not that good. So is Ronda Rousey the best female fighter of all time?
No. I'd say as of right now, it's Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
You know, she's got the win over Ronda, and, you know, In hindsight, like looking back at Ronda, she was good for, you know, the landscape of what women's MMA was at that time, which, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of talent there. I mean, she's got some her marquee wins are her wins over Miesha Tate. She kind of had the Mike Tyson effect a little bit, I think, where women got in there with her and they were pretty much ready to tap as soon as the bell rung. Until she ran into someone who was more experienced than Holly Holm. Holly was, you know, not afraid to engage, and she knew how to manage her distance and, you know, showed that Ronda's striking was just not on par with that level. And kind of exposed it to all of us. And then Amanda Nunes put a stamp on it.
You know, she's Ronda Rousey's a trailblazer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think she is. So I would say she's the most important female fighter of all time. Because without her, we don't have the level of women's MMA we have today. Because she's the reason that Dana White even acknowledged women's MMA and brought it to the UFC. I mean, she didn't even have to fight for the title. He brought her in and she was just the champion. which says a lot about how highly he thought of her. And then there was all the talk of like, oh, she could outbox Floyd Mayweather. But then we have the, you know, the viral thing of her shadow boxing, just like this. And, you know, her coach just shouting head movement while she's getting kicked in the face. So it's unfortunate that it had to end the way it did. Like if Ronda Rousey didn't run into Holly Holm, like let's say she just kept fighting the same level of competition and then retired and went on to WWE, people could be making the argument that she was the greatest ever. And you know, maybe the sport would have evolved after she was gone anyway, but you could still make that argument. But I think you just can't at this point.
It's interesting because one, there was other parts of this interview where she said the reason she lost, she blamed her mouthpiece. She blamed that she tripped and hit her head, but she's got a book coming out. And the only thing of this, you know, you Google Ronda Rousey, it's these two statements. So,
yeah. And I think she's very intelligent. I think she knows that by putting those statements out there, it's going to make, create a little buzz.
She said martial artist too. So now we got to have the discussion of Gordon Ryan. Is he in there, which he might be the best martial artist of all time. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we've never seen him engage in strikes except for when he slapped Andre Galvao.
Yeah. He can take a punch or a slap. He can take who was slapping the shit out of him?
I don't remember.
I think it was Galvao. No, not Galvao. It was the I can't remember.
I think we need to settle this by seeing Gordon Ryan in power slap.
Maybe.
And then we'll know. So
I think he's bored. Kind of like Mighty Mouse is bored. Did you see that silly fight he's got coming up?
No, but I saw, let's talk about Mighty Mouse in the jiu-jitsu tournament he was in where he was in the absolute bracket.
Yeah.
And
brown belt absolute bracket of ADCC pans.
Yeah. Okay. And he submitted a guy that was 6 foot four and 240 pounds.
Yeah. And
something a brown belt. Like that. Yeah.
And I think you might have been I'm pretty sure to get in that division, you have to win your weight division. So that guy won that weight division.
Yeah. So definitely legit skill wise and huge. And Mighty Mouse, it looked like he was getting flung all around, but like just always landed in the right position and then wound up submitting that guy. That was super impressive. Imagine your Mighty Mouse, like probably walks around 140 pounds. Getting stuck under that guy, it has 100 pounds on you.
Yep.
That takes some balls, man. Mighty Mouse. Yeah. That actually made me have more respect for Mighty Mouse than probably most of his UFC fights.
And I looked it up. I went on the results. A lot of his finishes to win his regular division were all gi chokes.
Yeah, he's legit. And I remember after that, after that crazy armbar he hit on Ray Borg, and he was like, I sure hope I get my blue belt.
Yeah, that was, I think we watched him invent a move.
Yeah, it's too bad that he never really let his personality shine through when he was in the UFC. He's kind of doing it more so now. You know, he does the little video game show or whatever he does. But when he was in the UFC, even when he would do interviews, I was like, I don't want to hear this guy talk. He would be on UFC Unfiltered or whatever, and he would be clearly distracted. He's like, yeah, I'm playing Call of Duty or some shit while he's talking to them doing the interview. And it's like, come on, man. You're like one of the best pound-for-pound fighters on the planet. Like, give me a reason to want to watch you. And he just wouldn't do it.
I watch a lot of his videos on YouTube, and he's way better at it now. And I feel like his weight division's amped up again. Like, we could use a return to the UFC. Like, that'd be they need to trade somebody over there.
And now he's fighting at 135-1, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's not even doing MMA fights. I'm trying to find this. Like, I can't find the...
Yeah, like he did that weird hybrid fight with Rod Tang.
Well, it's another one of those, but it's 5 rounds.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have the patience to like study new rule sets to watch a fight. Like, just let's have the... I'm too old and grouchy for that. Like, let's just have the MMA rule sets and let's stick to that. But yeah, it would be interesting to see Mighty Mouse come back. Mighty Mouse, I mean, he would skip the line right away. They'd put him right in there with Alexandre Pantoja.
Did he ever fight Figueiredo?
No.
That would have been a cool way to... if he came back next. Like, it's not, but a Mighty Mouse return to UFC 300 would have been the way to do it.
Yeah, they just kind of missed each other in their careers. They were just like, didn't cross paths. Or if Mighty Mouse comes back, do you put him right in there with Sean O'Malley? Oof. Do you let him cut in front of Merab?
It won't be Merab. It will be the next fight. I mean, Johnson has another fight.
Right, but O'Malley and Merab hasn't been announced, right?
Yeah, I just think it would come after the next one. But looking here, he's talking about retiring a lot after this next fight, too.
Oh, okay. All right, so moot point.
But it would be cool.
All right, what else you got?
It's a pretty damn slow week. The UFC has a new sleep aid partner. I kind of got a laugh out of that. Take a guess on what type of sleep aid product the UFC would.
Another women's flyweight main event?
Yeah, that's better than... it's that hostage tape shit.
Hostage? That's where you tape your mouth shut while you sleep?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
That seems so crazy to me. I wouldn't want to do that.
No, there's no way. I couldn't do it because my septum is deviated so badly, I can't even breathe through my nose that well. So I would definitely just suffocate. It would be suicide tape for me.
Yeah, that can't be. I mean, I would think... I don't see how that's safe.
Yeah, especially like if you're advertising it to people who train, like I know personally, I've had my nose broken so many times that like the inside of my nose is probably like, it's just mangled. And I don't breathe well through my nose at all. And I know I'm going to have surgery for it eventually, but I just kind of figured like, what's the point now? Cause I still train and spar pretty regularly. But yeah.
If you start breathing out of your mouth when you're sleeping, isn't that because your body needs to? Like, shouldn't you probably correct your nose, not just tape your fucking mouth shut?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's the craziest shit I've ever, like, okay. Like, so that seems like something your wife would do in the middle of the night to you, not something you'd willingly do to yourself.
Yeah, like if she wanted to wake me up, I'd just cover my mouth. Like.
And I'm sure they have this worked out, but then, you know, when you use a Band-Aid and you take it off and, you know, the next day you look down and you got like the dirt stuck to where the glue was and you're just walking around with a...
Yeah, or it's like,
what have you been doing, man? Oh, I'm trying this new hostage mouth tape.
Is it gonna rip my beard off?
Yeah, and I also don't know what just. I think I would just put this on my mouth, fall asleep, and then just immediately just in the middle of my sleep. Like, I'm not doing that.
We have a beard version. It's a cloth, and it goes over your beard, and then the tape actually attaches to your neck.
Hey, I know we're getting way from UFC talk, but have you noticed how people are wearing the breathe right strips during the day out in public?
I've never seen it in public yet, but I've seen a couple people on Instagram talking about them. I don't know if they're the same ones from like the early 2000s that were.
Yeah, they
out.
Are. They're the ones that pull your nose up.
Like yeah, this. That shit never worked for me.
But I've seen a couple people, and two of the guys I work with, so I felt comfortable asking, like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I have allergies, and this helps me breathe. And I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Something in me would never walk around all day just with this breathe-right strip.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to people will actually buy anything. It just comes down to the marketing. Like, oh, even with that hostage tape shit, they just make up a bunch of stuff about how you need to breathe through your nose. You don't. You need to breathe oxygen to stay alive. It's the only thing you need to do. It doesn't matter where you're taking it in from. Breathe through your fucking ears if you can. Like, get the oxygen in your lungs. Like, who cares?
Oh, they have mouth tape and nose strips.
Oh, the double whammy.
These things are $25, and it's $25 a month. I don't know. I just feel like you'd rip your skin. I don't know.
$25 a month to try and suffocate yourself in your sleep.
In the order, I don't know. It's so simple. You could do it with your eyes closed.
And I've seen like the videos of these guys advertising it, and they're so passionate about it. They're like, oh, this changed my life.
Now they are advertising that it could work with people that wear CPAP machines. That I could see where that would help.
It seems like it has the opposite. Like a CPAP like forces air into you. This is like covering up one of your main ways to get air.
Yeah, but the new style of CPAP machine only cover your nose.
Hmm.
So if you would have to tape your mouth shut, or you'd just, yeah, I don't know. Men's offered in men's and women's.
It's interesting how we've evolved so much as human beings, and yet we've become weaker.
Yeah.
Like, Matt, how about for people with PTSD? Like, you have this shit on your mouth, and you wake up in the middle of the night, and you feel like you're being kidnapped. This sounds great. And they even call it hostage tape.
Yeah, and the ad is like, somebody sitting there with their mouth tape shut, and they're like.
this shit's going to give people nightmares just seeing the advertisements. Like, have you ever woken up in your own home and felt too safe? Try hostage tape. God damn it. If anybody out there is wearing this hostage tape, like, please let me know how it's going for you and how much.
And probably just stop it. Don't do that. Go to get a sleep study done or something.
Yeah. Go do that. Or just fucking don't eat late at night. Go for a walk before you go to bed. You sleep like a baby.
But that's all I got, Bill.
I saw this guy on Instagram. I forget who he was. He's some bodybuilder, something, Mr. Olympia, something like that. And he was like, yeah, I drink breast milk in the morning. I bought this on the black market. And this is how I start my day. Drink 5 ounces of breast milk. And it tastes so good. It tastes like the bottom of the cereal, you know, when all the sugar's been sitting in the cereal. It tastes delicious. I start every day like this. So I put a comment on there. I said, I used to start my day like this too, before daycare. And I get a lot of notifications on that comment. But
that's disgusting. What the fuck is wrong with people?
And I think it was almost like tongue in cheek. Like maybe the guy's wife had a baby, so he just like took the breast milk and drank it. Like, oh, I bought this on a black market. This is how you get muscles like me. But like, there are people who are going to watch that, and they're going to be Googling like how to buy people's breast milk. Because I know there's ways to get it, because when you pump breast milk, you save it and you put it in the freezer, put the date on it. Right. And, you know, if you don't end up using it, like if your child is weaned off of it or whatever, and you have extra supply, you can donate it or something. So I'm sure there are some sick bastards that are selling it, but
yeah, I remember a couple of years ago we had some woman selling her farts, so
yeah. She's probably doing great. She's probably retired by now.
I think she did retire. Said it was too much stress or something.
Oh, I thought you meant she retired like because she made so much money.
I think she made a good amount of money. I don't remember who the hell that lady was.
Jar farts. It was Nina Drama.
No, I don't think so.
I bet she should. She could sell her farts. MMA fans would buy them.
Hey, Bill, I'll admit I didn't catch the whole episodes on Sunday. What do you think about the Weidman thing?
It was pretty bad. here's the best way I heard it put, and I forget who put it this way. If it was the other way around, and if it was Weidman who had gotten poked, we would have never heard the end of it. And that kind of put it into perspective for me.
Yeah, but I don't know. The Yarcher quarterback here, you know, we're a week out now and you can't have all this information, but, you know, he's saying that he lost 30% of vision temporarily. I don't know what that does into the, in the cage, but the soccer, the comparison to the soccer player, I felt that way a little bit initially. And I know that's, I would do the same thing, fall to the ground, but I would have done that in round one, but
yeah. So that was the thing too, is Weidman was like, yeah, my advice to him was like, if you get poked in the eye again, don't fall down. It's like, one, he's admitting that he did it. And then we could clearly see, like, it was a double eye poke combination that won the fight. And I think it's the referee's fault. One, because he didn't see it, and he called it a TKO. And once it's called that, you can't go back and make it a no contest. You just can't, even if you go back and look at it. So all they could do was take away the TKO and make it a technical decision.
But he couldn't have took, like, points from him?
I don't think he would have to determine intent. And I don't think you could do it after the fight is over.
Well, you didn't get points taken away for not non-intentional eye pokes.
True, but I don't know if he could be like retroactive. Like, he would have to see it happen. What he should have done was given him more stern warning, because he poked him twice in the eye during the fight, and then he's still fighting like this with his hand open. Like, stop the fight, give him a stern warning, and tell him, like, Chris, you need to close your fist. You know, that's the way it should have happened. And then maybe we could have avoided this whole thing. It's not the way the fight should have ended, because he was winning dominant fashion. I mean, it was 30-27 on all three judges' scorecards. Like, he didn't need to do that. And unfortunately, it's going to spoil this big return win for Chris Weidman, which is amazing, because I don't think anybody has had such a good performance coming off of that type of injury. You know, Anderson Silva came back and he won some fights, but, like, he didn't look good.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to see what happens with Connor, but I don't expect him to look good.
Yeah. It's a shame it ended that way, but I was mentioning retirement last week, and I don't think that needs to happen now. I mean, I'm interested to see Chris Weidman in there again.
Yeah. What I really was hoping for was he gets a win, he gets his hand raised no matter how it happens, and he puts the gloves down in New Jersey, close enough to his home of Long Island, which, you know, the arena was probably half full of people from Long Island anyway. But yeah, I don't want to see him go out like that. I would like to see him get a win without any controversy, without half the internet saying it should be a no contest or a disqualification or whatever the case. Let's not remember, it wasn't that long ago that Chris Weidman was on the other side of the coin in the fight with Gegard Mousasi, where he got fouled, couldn't continue, and you know, thought, I guess, it was going to be a disqualification win, and it wound up being a TKO loss, didn't it?
I think so, but I think the UFC needs to take a bit of blame with this too, because, you know, the gloves situation, Trevor Whitman has that badass glove that's out there, and I mean, maybe they're testing or whatever, but you know, wasn't it the Pride gloves that eye pokes were basically impossible too?
Yeah, so the Pride gloves had like a little bit of a curve to them. Yeah, the fight with Musasi was ruled a TKO. Yeah, it had a little bit of a curve to them, so you had to like really open your hand, force your hand open, to be able to extend your fingers forward. But I guess the problem is the UFC gloves that force your fingers out. Like you have to make an effort. Chael Sonnen made the point. He was like, you know, I wrestled for however many years. We didn't have any gloves. I've never seen anybody get poked in the eye. And they're always like grabbing on each other's face and stuff. So his point was, you know, make it a stricter penalty and you won't see eye pokes anymore. And I'm kind of wondering.
But like, apparently that other glove, Onyx, I think is the company's name.
Yeah.
I think they kind of fixed both worlds, but I don't know. Maybe they're too expensive to make because I know they're very expensive to buy.
Oh, sure. I mean, look, if you're the UFC, you don't have an unlimited budget. You know, you're getting these gloves made. You have to have however many pairs made every week, you know, all different sizes. Like this week coming up, there's like 13 fights. You got heavyweights to whatever you got.
You can't use that excuse. I mean, they're $275.
Yeah.
I mean, they can buy in bulk. They can make a deal, or I don't know. Maybe that would compromise the quality. Who knows? I'm sure Dana doesn't want any fucking more eye pokes. So if that was a viable option, they'd do it. So I don't know what the heck I'm talking about.
I don't know. They have people who can crunch those numbers. They're like, well, let's look at how many eye pokes we've had in the last year, and then let's look at the cost of these new gloves, and then, you know, what's the return on the investment? We're gonna get rid of these 12 eye pokes we had in the last year. Fuck it. Yeah. Also,
do you have to have a new pair of gloves every time? Maybe.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's not like a local amateur shows. They wheel out like a big trunk of gloves that they use the same one for multiple fights. Like they got to cut them off one guy and like, oh, bring them to the back and put them on the next guy. And the shin guards too. You got to wear somebody else's sweaty shin guards.
You can't bring your own.
No, not from. I don't think so. Yeah. So.
Well.
Speaking of amateur fights, on Sunday I'm going to be going out to Daytona, somewhere near Daytona, for Siam Fight Leagues. I got 6 guys from MJM City Otong that I'm going to be there cornering amateur Muay Thai. Should be a good time. It's going to be a long ass day though. It's like 3 hours to get out there. I think the fights start at 1 and then it's 3 hours to get back. So long day, but, you know,
traveling the most dangerous highway in the country.
What, I-4?
Yep.
Yeah. That thing's a mess.
I try to say off of it. I don't like that job. I'd get a hotel if I were you, Bill.
I'm thinking about it. Thinking about it because I'm old. I don't know if I should be driving at night anymore. But
I'm probably thinking about more. You should get a hotel, a 2-night hotel. Send the family to Daytona Beach. How close is it to the beach?
I'm not sure. I got some family out there though. I mean, technically family. My brother-in-law's parents live over there. And then my wife has cousins that live over on that side. But I don't know. They're staying here. I'm going solo.
So how many fights do I need to prepare for next week?
Let's do all of them.
You want to do all of them, but do like a... Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. It's going to take 2 hours.
No, it won't. We got through these. Like, we'll just do the prelims. We'll just say, here's the fight, here's the pick, here's the fight, here's the pick. And then we'll go in depth on the rapid fire, the prelims, and we'll go in. I mean, it's UFC 300. How many times?
Start rapid firing the prelims anyway. That could be fun. It wouldn't count to our total. We wouldn't put it to like an actual bet, but just see what kind of numbers we could pull out of that.
Sure.
Just by rapid firing it.
I'm up for that. In the meantime, you all can grab some MMA on the Rocks merchandise. Reaper1.co is the website. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on your entire order. Get an over the top under the influence. I don't know why Siri just decided to jump into the conversation. Over the top under the influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. Hoodies aren't going to be selling too well lately, I imagine, even though we had a little bit of a cold front here in Florida. In any case, that's all we got. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.